That's right. This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. D Lash or Dana Lash Radio on Twitter, on X, to stay connected to her, everything she's doing, danaradio.com, too. I'm Radio Craig C on Facebook or wherever if anybody wants to find me. I might as well throw that out more often. Let's do this first. The conversation between Bret Baier and Kamala Harris last night was amazing. And it's actually amazing for two reasons. First, it was incredible because going in, a lot of people were skeptical that Bret Baier would hold the vice president's feet quite to the fire the way he did. Trump was one of said people saying things on Truth Social and other platforms that Bret Baier was soft. He certainly was not soft last night, and he certainly was not an easy conversation for Kamala Harris. The other thing that's fascinating to me is how much mainstream, legacy, left-leaning, whatever you want to call it, media, traditional, some people call it media, that's defending Harris, who did a terrible job, and calling Bret Baier a bully. And that's hilarious to me, because that did not happen back in 2023, when Bret Baier did the exact same thing, interrupt, and to his face, ask difficult questions to Donald Trump. Media loved it. I was looking back at Twitter or X back in 20, I think it was like mid 2023 when that interview happened, but I was looking back at reactions to it, and people were praising Bret Baier for saying stuff to Trump, like some of the people who worked with you in your administration, and he named names, no longer support you. He said something about Mike Pence specifically too. This is all stuff Baier said. Trump's response at the time, I'd play the audio, but I want to get to stuff that actually happened the other night. Was that he hired good people and he hired bad people. And he thought he did a pretty good job, 10 to 1, in hiring the good instead of the bad. But fascinating, because I think even New York Times, in its write-up of this Harris Baier interview, said that some of the things that Kamala Harris said were things that the Fox News audience had never heard before. Even though one said reference, the reference about people who worked with Trump that don't support him, was something that Bret Baier actually said to Donald Trump. Anyway, I digress. Let's go ahead and play several of these minutes that seem incredibly important or valuable. Let's start right at the top. This was one of the first questions asked by Bret Baier that I think demonstrated to Harris, who showed up 15 to 20 minutes late for this conversation, and her staff even waved to have it end while it was still going on. But this demonstrated that it was going to be an interesting evening for the two of these people sitting down very close to each other, pretending to be friendly, but having a difficult chat.
You know, voters tell pollsters all over the country and here in Pennsylvania that immigration is one of the key issues that they're looking at this election, and specifically the influx of illegal immigrants from more than 150 countries. How many illegal immigrants would you estimate your administration has released into the country over the last 3.5 years?
Well, I'm glad you raised the issue of immigration, because I agree with you. It is a topic of discussion that people want to rightly have.
Okay.
And you know what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah, but do you think it's 1 million?
You know what I love, too, by the way? This is the opening conversation. And Harris actually said, and I don't think she says it quite like that another time during the whole interview, you know what I'm going to say right now, meaning you know what my talking points are in response to this conversation. I bet you her team even told Bret Baier, ask whatever questions you want, but if you ask about immigration, this is what you're going to be told. And he was trying to ignore that.
And 3 million.
Bret, let's just get to the point. Okay, the point is that we have a broken immigration system.
We do.
That needs to be repaired.
It does.
So your Homeland Security Secretary said that 85% of apprehensions.
I'm not finished.
Let me finish. Why don't you let me finish, darn it. She went on to continue to talk about all the things that he's not asking questions about. All the things that aren't relevant to the fact that we've gotten to as bad of a place as we've gotten. And it's the Democratic version of a discussion to say, well, the system itself is broken, so we're going to break it more. I guess that's their logic, is they believe that there's not enough fair ways for people to get into the country legally. So let's just ignore all the rules and see how that goes. And it's gone quite poorly. Case in point is one of the follow-up questions Bret has still on this topic, where he talks about and gives names of people who died because they were killed by people that shouldn't have been in this country. That's something that their families are incredibly mad about, of course, and heard about, and blaming the Biden-Harris campaign or the Biden-Harris administration for. And this was another really difficult moment in the first few minutes of a chat between Bret Baier and Kamala Harris, because the vice president has no interest discussing this and somehow wants to blame it on Trump. It's almost as if, before I hit play on this audio, you can tell that her brain was thinking, I have to blame this on Trump. I have to blame this on Trump. So as the question developed and it turned different ways, Harris seemed to really struggle to figure out, okay, how do I actually blame the question on Trump based on how he asked it?
Jocelyn Nungeri, Rachel Morin, Lakin Riley, they are young women who were brutally assaulted and killed by some of the men who were released at the beginning of the administration, well before a negotiated bipartisan bill. Former President Clinton actually referred to Lakin Riley Sunday, campaigning for you in Georgia, saying if those men had been properly vetted, Lakin Riley probably would not have been killed. So if it wouldn't have happened, this is well before any negotiation. This is well before Donald Trump got involved in the politics. This is a specific policy decision by your administration to release these men into the country. So what I'm saying to you, do you owe those families an apology?
All right, look, I'll let her answer the question too, as Brett did. But I do want to say that he prefaced this on purpose with the please don't mention the bipartisan deal to add more, you know, Border Patrol agents to the border. It has nothing to do with the question I asked you, which was the first few years when your administration was actively harming the country via your border policies. Do you regret that? Do you owe an apology to people who actually lost loved ones because of some of the individuals that were let into this country? Please do not answer my question by talking about the bipartisan border bill that materialized much later than these things happened. And what does she do?
Let me just say, first of all, those are tragic cases. There's no question about that. There is no question about that. And I can't imagine the pain that the families of those victims have experienced.
So I'm sorry.
That should not have occurred.
So I'm sorry.
So that is true.
I'm sorry.
It is also true.
Didn't do it.
If a border security had actually been passed 9 months ago,
this wouldn't have helped at all.
9 months that we would have had more border agents at the border, more.
All right, so let me put you, we can keep going. She's going to give the same answer you've heard before. The bipartisan border bill was killed by Trump. And again, she says 6 or 7 months ago. So let's put yourself in the shoes of Brett Baer at this point. You've asked two questions. You've gotten two boilerplate, filibuster, whatever you want to call them, talking points answers. You've tried as best you could to preface your questions to prevent said filibuster answers, and it didn't work. And so now the conversation is going to get contentious. And again, I will just say one other thing out loud. This happened when Brett Baer sat down with Donald Trump. This was, again, a year ago. I'm tempted to play the audio, but you don't need it. It's not the point. So he's not being sexist. He's not being racist. Brett Baer is not being mean and unfair and a toxic man or whatever some people are saying he was for interrupting the vice president because he did this to Trump. But let's continue. There are so many moments where this conversation got completely out of hand and broken. And actually, there's one really big one that I think a lot of context is absolutely necessary for people to understand better. So Brett Baer goes down a path to talking about some of the things that Democrats have said about Trump, including that he's, you know, a threat to democracy, that the society as we know it will end, even the enemy from within, which is a thing that Trump did say. But it's being, of course, misunderstood by the left on purpose. They know they're doing this on purpose to make it sound insanely crazy and scary and akin to, say, the Nazis. So let's go back and forth with this, because one of the things I really enjoyed about this question and answer was not actually what I'm going to play for you, but the way it was reacted to in media and the way that some people misrepresented the misrepresented thing to begin with to make it further look bad. But the answer is terrible. Here we go.
I'm sorry, and with all due respect, that clip was not what he has been saying about the enemy within.
He is a terrible person.
When he's speaking about the American people, that's not what you just showed.
Well, he was asked about that specific...
No, that's not what you just showed, in all fairness and respect to you.
That was the question that we asked him.
You didn't show that, and here's the bottom line. He has repeated it many times, and you and I both know that. And you and I both know that he has talked about turning the American military on the American people. He has talked about going after people who are engaged in peaceful protest. He has talked about locking people up because they disagree. Agree with him. This is a democracy. And in a democracy, the president of the United States, in the United States of America,
I can't help when you repeat stuff. The president of the United States, in the United States of America,
be willing to be able to handle criticism without saying he'd lock people up for doing it. And this is what is at stake.
All right, I'll stop it right there. So the beginning part of that discussion was that same talking point, the enemy from within. And there's two things that matter, being fully transparent, not trying to be, you know, overly one-sided and having someone who's on the left throw the radio thinking, how dare this guy who's filling in for Dana, who's definitely nowhere near as attractive as she is, or whatever stuff people say about me when I fill in on the show. I'm an idiot. I'm whatever. It's fine. It's true. It's all true. As you're getting mad, if you're someone on the left listening, I will absolutely admit that Trump did say enemy from within. This is a conversation he had with a different Fox person just recently, but he wasn't talking about the American people. And this is the game that the politicians always play, pretending as though you and they are the same. If someone threatens a politician, they threatened you. You know who's next after they go after me? They're going after you. No, they're not. No one's coming for me after they got Bob Menendez in trouble for having gold bars in his pockets. I'm not next on the list. I'm very far down the list, maybe higher up than some because I get to fill in on these fancy shows, but definitely not very high on the list. They're not coming after you. Trump's not putting regular Americans in jail. And if he got elected and did that, guess what? The entire country would not like that. We'd be angry about that, and that wouldn't be something we'd allow to just happen. But if you put politicians in jail who broke the law and are used to having a set of standards that are different than the rest of us, they're allowed to do whatever they want, and the rest of us actually have to follow the rules, well, that's fine. Actually, many Americans would support the broken system that is our government being upended. And so I love that she goes there and she calls the enemy from within the American people and that Trump wants to throw them in jail. I think he actually said one of the enemies from within was Adam Schiff or a whole bunch of far-left politicians or politicians that pretended to be on the right that are on the left, Liz Cheney's of the world, who are actively hurting us, or the politicians who've opened the border like Harris that are hurting our country in other ways. Those are the enemies from within, according to Trump. But unless I digress, what I think is so fascinating about this is how angry it made Harris and how she accused him of playing an out-of-context clip that wasn't the clip she was talking about when it actually was an answer to this exact question that Trump gave that day. So Bret Baier chose to give the most current version of Trump's defense that he possibly could. And I thought it was fascinating. I thought it was fantastic. But all right, we'll take a break. We got a lot to get to throughout the show today. We'll definitely talk about some silly. This conversation with Harris will certainly come up again. A lot going on. This is The Dana Show. Craig Collins filling in.
Life can take a toll on our bodies. There's no way around it. And whether it's just sitting for hours on end at your computer or if you're working a physical job, over time, your body pays the price. There is, however, an effective way to turn back the clock on pain. Relief Factor. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor helps support your body's response to inflammation. And the difference, instead of just masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it for good, and it's 100% drug-free. My husband Chris has taken Relief Factor with incredible results. So if the pains that come with living a full life are affecting you, do as many others have done and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95. That's less than $1 a day. And when you feel good, it's amazing how much more you get out of life. Visit relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Try it for only $19.95 and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Relieffactor.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. Let's do a real quick five if we can. Five topics that I'm only going to get to very briefly. A couple things or pieces of audio that went viral that I thought were hilarious. The first one was a woman, who's very upset because her turkey leg, according to her, is made out of ham. It's not actually made out of ham, but she went viral for complaining about it. Here's part of that audio.
Turkey legs is ham. Turkey legs is ham. The world is a lie. Everything we ever knew was a lie, guys.
Lie.
I was watching a TikTok. This girl said they was at the fair. They got turkey legs.
Uh-huh.
The turkey legs tasted like ham.
Uh-oh.
So they went back to the dude and was like, hey, why does this turkey leg taste like ham? He was like, it is ham. We just call them turkey legs. What do you want us to say? Pig leg? Mind blown.
Her mind is blown. I call it a pig leg if it's made out of ham. But by the way that turkey legs are made makes them taste sort of like ham. But according to a lot of people who know about turkey legs, they're not ham. That's it. I guess I can't do the rest of the five here. Or you know what? Actually, I can do one more. I got another one. Let's do this one. 71-year-old woman who's a pole dancer as a fitness thing. Her name is Mary. She's not actually someone who does that other thing professionally. She said this recently.
A friend of mine said, well, I'm taking pole dancing. I thought, well, that sounds fun. The bug had bit me and I had to do this. I just had to do it. And I always say, if you're going to try it, don't just do one time, because you'll come away the first time and say, oh, I'm sore. I didn't know I had muscles there.
Yeah.
You can't be a wet noodle and be on the pole. I think you have.
Okay, I got to stop it. That is the quote of the day. 71-year-old woman saying you can't be a wet noodle and be on the pole. That has got to be true. And certainly the darkest phrase that any father would never want his daughter to utter in any situation whatsoever. I love this. And actually, I even love how I was interacting earlier this week with a buddy of mine about how good this 71-year-old woman looks. Mary is her name. She's not bad looking, which probably is a thing that winds up happening if you find out a grandma went viral for pole dancing. And then you're impressed that it apparently is a pretty good fitness workout. If it were my family member, grandmother or something, I would beg them daily not to do this, to go jog in the park like the typical person of that age does. You know, jazzercise. Do it a little bit faster than normal, because then all my friends won't constantly make fun of me for having a grandma on a stripper pole. But again, she's just doing it for fitness. That's all that is. But I love that piece of audio too. I'm in trouble with somebody. I just know I am. I got a couple other pieces of audio, but I'm going to save those. I do like this as far as other quick five things. The smallest hill you're willing to die on. What is it? What's the topic? One person said, being called a girl when she's over the age of 18. So she's a woman, darn it. How dare anybody use the term girl to describe her? Number two on the list from BuzzFeed and Reddit, Nickelback being a great band. Some people want to die on that hill. A whole lot of other people don't. Yes, they have hits. Yes, the hits are catchy. Are they a very talented musical group? Well, you got to define talent. I don't think they're the kind of musical group that I would have put up on the Mount Rushmore of, you know, songwriting. But yes, they have the hits. That's fine, too. One last one. Grease 2 is better than Grease. Some people would be mad about that. Quick break. A lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
On deck here. We got a lot on. We got a lot coming up. We're here in Richmond at our affiliate. And we got an event tonight. And like I said, we'll be talking more about it. I'll have it up on Instagram and I'm sure Facebook and all that as well. But we're here in Richmond. We are live from WRVA here, our affiliate. And as we move, our partners will help bring you free radio as we roll towards headlines. You don't have to pay a subscription fee, and we're thankful for these folks. Tax Network USA, you guys know how I feel about the government theft agent, I mean the IRS. The IRS now emboldened with 88,000 new agents. Deadline's passed, October 15th. If you haven't organized your documents, if you hadn't submitted estimated payments, the IRS could be knocking on your door. Don't let them catch you off guard. Schedule a complimentary consultation. Call 1-800-958-1000 or visit TNUSA.com/Dana. Talk with a member of their expert team. They have skilled professionals dedicated to securing the best resolution for your tax issues. And whether you owe $10,000 or $10 million, regardless of whether it's for personal or business, they have the tools and experience to handle any situation and flexible assistance, whether you're able to pay or on a fixed income. Tax Network USA provides tailored solutions to help you resolve your tax burdens effectively. Hopefully you didn't miss the October 15th deadline. Visit TNUSA.com/Dana or call 1-800-958-1000 for a free consultation. They'll guide you through a few simple questions to determine how much you can save. TNUSA.com/Dana, 1-800-958-1000.
Who is the Department of Homeland Security supposed to help? Mayorkas is saying FEMA's running out of money. But this past year, we spent $24 billion in Ukraine, $11 billion in Israel, and billions more to smaller nations. Who are their real priorities?
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A bunch of places to find Dana. DirecTV Channel 347, all via the First TV. YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, D-Lash, and Dana Lash Radio are places on Twitter, on X. Let's do this. Donald Trump sat down for an interview the same day that Kamala Harris sat down for her interview with Fox News. All over media, people were saying it's amazing. Kamala Harris is going into the lion's den. She's going to fight off the wolves or whatever it is they said because she had to deal with Bret Baier. But Trump went and sat down with Bloomberg News, which is no fan of his, and had a conversation in which he was asked a bunch of times about January 6th, That was one of many things that was asked about him. He also did this, though, which is probably a moment that went viral for a lot of people who don't have Trump derangement syndrome because it's hilarious. Here we go.
You said, President Trump, at the moment, there is a thing called the Trump trade in the markets. Do you know what that is? The Trump trade is very simple. People are betting that your policies are going to drive up debt. They're going to drive up inflation. So they're going to drive up inflation interest rates. Yeah. Are the investors wrong?
Yeah, I had 4 years no inflation.
That's a pretty good answer.
No inflation.
But that was when you had much.
I had 4 years. It's better than that. And Biden, who has no idea where the hell he is, okay? Biden went 2 years with no inflation because he inherited from me. And then they started spending money like drunken sailors. They spent so much money. It was so ridiculous, the money they were spending. They were spending on the Green New Scam. A Green New Scam, the Green New Deal, you know, it was conceived of by AOC plus three. She never even studied the environment in college. She went to a nice college. She came out. She just said, the Green New Scam. She just named all these things.
But President Trump, the markets are looking at the fact you are making all these promises. Latest one was car loans. You're flooding the thing with giving giveaways.
But we're going to grow.
I was actually quite kind to you. I used $7 trillion. The upper estimate.
I was quite kind to you. I said $7 trillion. How dare we go with a number like that?
$15 trillion.
Oh, you can
people like the Wall Street Journal, who's hardly a communist organization.
Yeah, but you don't know.
They have criticized you on this as well. You are running up enormous debts.
What does the Wall Street Journal know? I'm meeting with them tomorrow. What does the Wall Street Journal know? They've been wrong about everything. So have you, by the way.
You're trying to turn this into debate.
It's fake news.
There are business people.
You've been wrong.
All right, here, I'll jump in now. You know what I think is really interesting about this? If Trump or name the conservative politician, I know everybody says that it's Project 2025 and how horrible and terrible that is, actually gets a little bit of what they want, which is not necessarily akin to Project 2025, but it's reducing the size of our government and the cost of our government, getting rid of unnecessary things, which might include, say, the Department of Education. To some, I might be one that could agree with that, depending on what actually comes in to help do whatever they need to do to have much less of a hand in how we educate people and allowing schools to have a larger stake in control of those kind of things. But nonetheless, if we got rid of a lot of the bureaucracy that's corrupt and crap in Washington and a lot of the misspending and terrible other things that happened, we actually would be able to afford a lot of the stuff that Trump is promising. So whether or not that occurs, I know a whole lot of people always offer to spend less as the government. But what does that actually mean to each politician and to someone like Trump or people that are within that part of his party? It means more extreme versions of cost cutting in the government than other people mean. And of course, the people on the other side are up in arms about that. That's their jobs. That's their livelihoods. No more Hunter Biden making business deals that make no sense and should be considered crimes that enrich him and the rest of his family. That's a thing that shouldn't happen anymore, and something that I think would be a cost to, a benefit to get rid of so that it doesn't cost as much to implement a lot of Trump's plans, getting rid of a lot of the overspend that is our government, which we all would agree on, depending on how exactly, I guess, they present the issue to us. Because you can be convinced that they're going after your pocketbook, when the reality is they don't care about that. At least Trump doesn't. The Democrats certainly do. There's a lot of ways they want to collect more taxes from you. But I just found this amazing. The Trump sat down, had an interview and a conversation the same day as Harris that was equally hostile, and no one's talking about it. No, and they actually are saying the exact opposite of Trump. He's not willing to sit down with the 60 Minutes of the world or anyone else of the world. He did it. He just went to a different place, and he's been on 60 Minutes before. All right, let's play this. This is interesting to me. This is a viral video of students in California, but I think it's like grade school, seventh, eighth grade, and maybe some early high school, not necessarily old enough to actually vote, but it's just an exercise they're doing in school that has made some parents very mad, and you'll be able to tell why very quickly here, but this is insane.
Do you guys think this is normal for them to bring politics into school? And if they vote for, I live in California, by the way, but if you vote for Kamala Harris, then you're going to get a pizza party. But if you vote for Donald J. Trump, apparently you are
excluded from the pizza party.
My teacher was screaming at us saying,
the other class is voting Trump. So they don't get to use the pimple patches, not the school supplies for the girls. They don't get to use the computers, the chargers, or the, what to call it? The scrunchies, the deodorant, or stuff like that.
Okay, so you guys don't get to use this stuff. It's mm-hmm. okay. And then what was said about the pizza party?
That we don't get the pizza party because only the kids that have, only our class that voted Kamal get to eat the pizza party. But some
okay, I love something about this audio. I can't get over how much I love it. It's the fact that the little kid mispronounces Kamala Harris's name. Not because that's a political thing and some people do it or whatever. That's how little she understands politics. She's like, if we vote for the one, we don't get a pizza party. If we vote for the other one, we get a pizza party. We don't understand. We're just being told that that's how that works. The ideology that exists, and honestly, like a California that thinks they're going to be okay with this, that, oh, it's fine. We send these kids home. All the parents are going to agree with us because we're a deep blue state and there can't be anybody that has a problem with this. This is nuts. And this happens all over the place. And then you have teachers that go on television and say, I would never try to shape the opinion of your child. I would never do anything to make them believe or think something that they don't already believe or think. I'm going to let the parents raise their kids. How dare anybody be up in arms about what we're doing to indoctrinate students in schools? And then you see this video or you see a video like it or all the other things going on. And actually, you know what? It reminded me of another thing. And I love this audio. It goes viral often. One of the biggest reasons it actually goes viral is because this is a core voting block for Democrats that Harris should be struggling with more than she's actually struggling with them. And I like this edit of it too, but I'll add more context after I play it. This is part of the Bret Baier Kamala interview in which she said, or she was very offended by him insinuating that she would think that Trump supporters are idiots because she said that Trump's dangerous and horrible and, you know, no one could vote for him or support him. And yet Bret Baier counters with a whole lot of people are voting for him. Why do you think that is? Here, let's play a little bit more of that.
So are they misguided, the 50%? Listen, are they stupid?
What is it? I would never say that about the American people.
All right, let's do a flashback to 2014 when you said this on a stage.
What else do we know about this population, 18 through 24? They are stupid.
I love that cut of it because it's just so simple. She would never say anyone stupid, but in fact, she did call people stupid. Here, I'll give you a little more of that actual discussion.
And it's a specific phase of life. Remember, age is more than a chronological fact. What else do we know about this population, 18 through 24? They are stupid. That is why we put them in dormitories. And they have a resident assistant. They make really bad decisions.
Yeah, including maybe voting for you, if people do that. You know what she's actually talking about there? The context of the entirety of that often used viral clip of Kamala Harris from 2014, in which she's a powerful person in California, not yet someone who's on the track to stealing a presidential nomination. She's talking about lowering the penalty and punishment in California for drug dealers that are in that age group, 18 to 24, because she says they're not as smart as people later in life, so we shouldn't punish them the same way we punish an older person who commits a similar crime. That is stupid. That's insane. She said she doesn't want to kick people onto a track of being in and out of jail for their entire lives. So you lower the punishment? So you tell them they're getting away with something and they're getting away with it in a way that they wouldn't normally be able to prevent themselves from going to jail because of their age, and you hope they understand how lucky they are? That's not going to teach anybody anything. We know that that doesn't teach anybody anything. We've seen it a ton of times, including in California with those kind of laws. They don't make people more successful. They make people more willing to break the law sooner in life and then wind up doing it later in life as well because they're not afraid of the consequences because they think they will be mitigated. They'll be little. They'll be, you know, non-existent. It actually is very similar. I don't know if I'll play the audio, and I probably can take another break. I'm ranting about this a lot. But before I do, I'll say this. There's a guy that went viral just after the Bret Baier, Charlamagne the God Kamala Harris interview, in which he was saying that he was wrongfully convicted while she was the district attorney in California. He wound up winning millions of dollars from California because of said wrongful conviction. But he also vividly remembers being in the courtroom the day of the sentencing and watching Harris laugh as he got multiple years in jail, some of which he had to serve before proving he was innocent and getting a crap ton of money to get out of jail. But what he said that was really interesting to me in this long viral video that people have focused on the other part I just told you about is that he expected to maybe have an easier time in court than the hard time he had because the person who was the district attorney technically going after him was his race. He goes, I didn't know much about her, but she was supposed to be a black woman who was raised in Oakland. And I thought, okay, maybe this will be better for me than if it were someone else in that position. And it was markedly worse than anybody else he could have expected. And the way in which she even seemed to take joy in the punishment doled out to him. And she said, that's something, the person talking about this said that's something that deserves to be talked about in certain circles when Harris is making promises to certain, say, demographic groups. And I just found all of that interesting because if you break the law, you're going to get in trouble. If you don't break the law, you can hope that they find out that you don't. And hopefully you wind up being, you know, acquitted and horrible to go to jail when you don't deserve to be punished. But interesting that some of us might think in the back of our head, wait, does the race of this person benefit me in my, path through the courtroom and how bad that part is? You shouldn't want the favoritism of a certain situation any more than you want the negative treatment of another situation. And so it's just sort of amazing to watch that also play itself out as far as a conversation there and an expectation that wound up going wrong. And I guess to get back to it real quick before I break, that California classroom thing where students are coming home being told if you vote for Trump, you get punished. And if you vote for Harris, you get a pizza party. I bet you a whole bunch of those teachers did not expect this to go viral, even though it obviously should and did, because they thought that none of the people that they were sending this home to would be upset with it, so they wouldn't talk about it. They'd just keep that secret amongst themselves, and they didn't, and I'm very happy about that. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get to some lighter and sillier things in just a bit. This is Greg Collins filling in on The Dana Show. Check her out everywhere, all over the place, Twitter, Facebook, what have you, and DirecTV, channel 347. A quick break and a lot more coming up.
Our partners over at ReadyWise. ReadyWise is ready, even if you aren't, ReadyWise is always prepared because they understand it's more important, it's now than ever, to take charge of your own safety and well-being. You got a lot of stuff. I mean, good grief. We saw a lot of the natural disasters in numerous states and people that are grappling with these dire situations. One of the last things that you want to have to worry about is making sure that you have sustenance to live off of, that you are nourished and your family is fed and safe. This is where ReadyWise comes in. The chain of command for your food, U.S. ingredients packed in the U.S. plant, sent out from that plant. It's comfort in a crisis and beyond. You can have hot, comforting meals, even in tough times. It's great for emergencies. Even if you just want, like, camping, you can just need to take it with you to do that. They have free and fast shipping on most orders. 72-hour food kit right now is buy one, get $100 in value for $50. Two boxes, 12 pouches of premium survival food. You get the breakfast, entrees, drinks, all of it. And you get eight servings. You get all of your appropriate calories, all the protein, your 20% of daily carbs, all of it to keep you powered and going in any kind of situation. 25-year shelf life as well. Visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana20 at checkout for 20% off of your entire purchase. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of The Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A bunch of stuff out there to talk about. J.D. Vance is funny on social media. He made a joke about how Donald Trump will stop the abomination that is a recently viral version of ice cream. Chili flavored ice cream. He said both he and Donald Trump will take it down, which I loved. And a lot of people reacted to it. Some took it seriously and told him to stay out of the ice cream world, which is hilarious. I don't know why companies make this terrible stuff, but they do. And chili flavored ice cream doesn't seem like something anyone needed or wanted or desired. And yet there it will be. But darn it, that's freedom, baby. And I'm sure that J.D. Vance actually does support that. Another thing I saw, I thought this was interesting, out of Jersey. A woman, sounds like a pretty young woman, based on the audio that I'm going to play, was very upset. She passed a restaurant. She misunderstood the flag of said restaurant and thought that, hey, I can be anti-Semitic. That's allowed now in 2024. So she pulled down a flag that she thought was an Israeli flag, and she yelled at the restaurant for being a pro-genocide. And then she found out some stuff that made her feel really dumb, even though she was already dumb to a lot of us for the things she said had she been accurate about the type of flag she was attacking. But here we go.
I'm taking this down.
What are you doing? They can't do nothing.
I don't stand for this.
This genocide.
I don't support it. This is not okay.
This is freaky.
Who's this?
This is freaky.
What?
Freaky.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's Israel. My bad.
I'm so happy. My favorite part is, who is this that she says as she's actually tearing down the flag? Talk about a level of arrogance and stupidity mixed together for many people who say that, hey, I know things and I'm upset about things in the world today and you barely know anything. And the dude is just sitting there like, whoa, why are people anti the Greek flag? Why are you upset with me in Greece?
Don't support it. This is not okay.
No.
This is freaky.
Who's this?
What now?
This is freaky.
What?
Freaky.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was Israel. My bad.
My bad. I didn't mean to throw your flag in the ground and stomp on it and yell at you. I'm going to put it up here and then just go away. Why even put this on online either? I think that this woman posted it herself where she said she got confused. It's so stupid. Society as we know it is in so many ways just broken and needs to be fixed. And this is one of said ways. Although I guess I have good news if I want to play one last piece of audio before we take a break. There is a bathroom in this country, in Utah, that has won the title of best public restroom in the world, or at least in America. Here we go.
Honestly, anytime I have to go to a gas station for whatever reason, especially being an Amazon worker, I have to use, like, facilities, I always come to Mavericks, and I usually come to this one because it's really clean.
So down the street where I work, right now there's the outhouses, but they're hot, stinky, and, I mean, covered in whatever have you and stuff wiped on whatever
what
walls.
What is behind him?
So it is nice to have, you know, just 4 minutes down the road, be able to stop by and have an experience of AC'd.
We base it on a criteria of cleanliness, visual appeal, functionality, innovation, and unique design elements.
I don't know what kind of pet shop that second guy was in, but that was confusing. And I do love the fact that the manager of the company that picked the best restroom in America had all those different criteria. It's not just, is it clean? Which for 99% of Americans is the only thing that matters. We only care about cleanliness if we're going into a restroom that, you know, is not within our home. But it's also the ambiance, the decorations, the lack of, I guess, names and phone numbers scrolled on walls. Or maybe you need some of those, depending on who you are and what you're looking for. But that's hilarious. Congratulations to Mavericks Gas Station in Utah for winning a very prestigious award. I imagine there will be some kind of giant ceremony. I imagine, you know, celebrities will host it. I'm looking forward to all that. All right, quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
New partners to the program. We've talked about them before. Burn-A-Gun. It's a great option to have if you want more options for self-defense, especially if you're going in an area where they have magical gun-free zone signs that empower criminals and just put victims at a disadvantage. The Burn-A, if you're unfamiliar with it, it shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats like 50 feet away. When you compare it to a stun gun, you got one or two shots. With a stun gun, you got five rounds with the Burn-A. And the Burn-A SD is the most popular model. That's the one that most people seem to be buying. I've got a couple of friends that have purchased them. One lives in D.C. One lives in literally in Manhattan. And they work in law and in media. So they got to be able to have a way to protect themselves. Because even though they have their licenses to carry in those states, you can't carry hardly anywhere. And the cool thing with Burn-A Gun is it doesn't give a rat's backside about your gun-free zone signs. And it's legal in all 50 states. No background check. It can be shipped right to your door. So there's no question. To learn more about the Burn-A Gun, B-Y-R-N-A, visit Burn-A.com/Dana for 10% off your purchase. That's Burn-A.com/Dana for 10% off.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. Bunch of stuff to talk about. Find Dana everywhere. DanaRadio.com, Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter, are great ways to stay connected to everything going on with her. Radio Craig C, if you want to find me for some reason. Let's do this. And that's on all the social media platforms, too. My following is nothing compared to hers. Just a warning going in. But let's do this. The Bret Baier, Kamala Harris conversation is going to be covered a lot by certain types of media. And then it's going to be ignored a lot by a lot of other media outside of them saying that they think it was mean or they think it was hostile or way to go, Kamala, for going into an environment that was going to be tough on her and dealing with it. Now, first, the lowering of the bar to that level for someone who wants to be president of the United States is horrible for us. The fact that the left wants her to win for two reasons. The first one they wanted to win is because Trump is a horrible, terrible individual, according to them. They essentially want to trip the other person in the race and then win a race alone and act like that's some kind of victory. They're the hollow version of a win if they even get there. The second reason is they say it's a whole bunch of historical stuff. You got to have a woman be president at some point. You got to have somebody that's whatever ethnicity she says she is on a given day. Those things all have to happen. And I'll be honest about that part. I don't hate, and you don't hate, I doubt anyone hates the idea that someone comes along who's the right person for the job that winds up being female or black. I know Obama's already broken part of that barrier. Any of this stuff. I don't care at all what your race, your sex, any of it is. I just want you to be best suited for the job. And the big thing that Bret Baier's interview demonstrated the other night is she is terribly suited for this, like horribly so, as far as the ability to lead or deal with anything that would be the typical pressures of being the president. Let's prove this to you a few different ways. This was probably the most painful night of the entire 26, 28 minutes, whatever they sat down for, in which a very significant and simple fact was presented to Harris, and she about brain exploded trying to respond to it.
Rhetoric that people are frankly exhausted of, Bret.
More than 70% of people tell the country is on the wrong track. They say the country is on the wrong track. If it's on the wrong track, that track follows 3.5 years of you being vice president and President Biden being president. That is what they're saying, 79% of them. Why are they saying that? If you're turning the page, you've been in office for 3.5 years.
And Donald Trump has been running for office.
But you've been the person holding the office.
Come on.
How dare you, sir? How dare you blame me for being in charge of stuff when I was in charge of stuff? Because that other guy who was not in charge of stuff, he wanted to be in charge of stuff. And so he was trying to get the job that I have, and it's his fault for trying to get this job that he did better than us when he was in there. I mean, this is insane kind of stuff that I don't understand how anyone can walk away from this thinking that she did a good job, and yet some people are saying that. As far as changes she'd make or things she'd do different than Biden, a lot of mainstream media is telling you that she distanced herself. She drew her biggest and, you know, clearest version of how she's going to govern and be totally separate of the person she's currently the vice president for.
It's interesting you said turn the page, Madam Vice President. You were asked on two different shows last week what, if anything, you would do differently than President Biden. Here's what you said.
Would you have done something differently than President Biden during the past 4 years?
There is not a thing that comes to mind in terms of, and I've been a part of most of the decisions that have had impact.
Under a Harris administration, what would the major changes be and what would stay the same?
Sure. Well, I mean, I'm obviously not Joe Biden.
I know.
And so that would be one change in terms of. But also, I think it's important to say with, you know, 28 days to go, I'm not Donald Trump.
So you're not Joe Biden. You're not Donald Trump. But nothing comes to mind that you would do differently.
Let me be very clear. My presidency will not be a continuation of Joe Biden's presidency.
By the way, when she paused for that second and said, let me be very clear, I thought she was about to get like a different version of unhinged mad that she got a few times in this. And it reminded me of a clip from a movie. So real quick, what I was actually expecting Kamala Harris to say was,
you shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
That's what I thought she was going to say. And that's from The Wedding Crashers. That is not what she said. Let's get back to the actual answer itself as she continues to describe what she'll do different.
Like every new president that comes in to office, I will bring my life experiences, my professional experiences, and fresh and new ideas. I represent a new generation of leadership. For example, I'm someone who has not spent the majority of my career in Washington, D.C.
You are radically to the left, according to a tremendous amount of people, have been radically to the left for a long time. You know, one of my favorite actual versions of that part of the discussion, and I'll give her credit for doing this, when Kamala Harris has been saying certain things about how even a John McCain would support her or, you know, think that she'd be a better choice than Donald Trump. It was Meghan McCain that came out and said, look, leave my dad out of this, who's been passed away. He's been dead since 2018. Weird that Democrats want to keep bringing him up as the, you know, paragon of what Republicans should be and what they're not any longer. But more importantly, what Meghan McCain said is, if you really keep testing us here, I'll tell you what he actually said about Kamala Harris, and you're not going to like it. Essentially, I think she threatened to spill the tea, as the kids would say. And what I think is fascinating about that is, yes, Harris is so far left that so many individuals criticized her resoundingly. Even ones that now, like Liz Cheney, stand next to her, called her Nazi versions of being a left-leaning fascist. That's how far to a certain side of the aisle she is. So when Harris says out loud, like, I'm not a career politician, it might actually be better for some of us if she had spent more time in Washington, because she might be a tad less radical. Not that that would actually help us. It would still be terrible. Just the degree of terrible might change a bit. And one last thing. I know I've been playing a lot from this conversation between Harris and Brett Baer. It's just they covered a lot of ground, did it in a short amount of time, and Brett pushed back harder than some expected him to. Others did not expect it to be, you know, anything other than what it was. And a lot of like really good exchanges that are probably going to get buried by many, many forms of media today. But this was a pushback on, okay, you're not radical. You were radical. You're saying all of your opinions have changed, even though you also tell us that nothing of your opinions has changed, your priorities, your belief system. It's all still the same. But you kind of made a decision that questions every single part of that. A pretty big decision. Do you remember what it was?
Immigration, you supported allowing immigrants in the country illegally to apply for driver's license, to qualify for free tuition at universities, to be enrolled in free health care. Do you still support those things?
Listen, that was 5 years ago, and I'm very clear that I will follow the law. I have made that statement over and over again, and as Vice President of the United States, that's exactly what I've done, not to mention before.
You, if that's the case, you chose a running mate, Tim Walz, who, governor of Minnesota, who signed those very things into state law. So do you support that?
Amazing.
We are very clear, and I am very clear, as is Tim Walz, that we must support and enforce federal law. And that is exactly what we will do.
You didn't answer the question twice, Madam Vice President. You didn't do it. The first time I asked you, you said that you're obviously against all of it. And then I pointed out that you appointed someone who's probably going to whisper in your ear occasionally, hey, we should do all that stuff that you want to do and that I already did, at least at a state level. And your response again is, but we're not going to do it because it's currently the law that we can't. Even though I thought the whole point of trying to get in positions of power in Washington and other places was to change what the rules are and that you'd very much want to change them to be something else. It's insane that we ever accept that from any politician as an answer to a question. What do you think of this? Well, it's the law. I wish it wasn't, but it is. So that's what we're going to have to deal with. And by the way, anyone that might yell at their radio, not that I think many people are going to do that in response to what I said, my brain thought of it that when Trump says that he's okay with abortion being a statewide issue, you might think that's the same thing as Harris saying that I'm not going to do anything to try to do these radical ideas I have. But Trump actually says he agrees with it. He thinks that the states should have control of that issue. So it's something that individually they will manage and not something that he would ever put a federal ban on or, of course, go back to the opposite way and try to reinstate Roe versus Wade, which is something the Democrats say. That's a different position to say, you know what, it's not part of my job anymore to have an opinion on that or to really, you know, barrel toward that as opposed to, well, it could be my job, but I promise it won't be. Because we're not going to try to make it something that we have happen during my administration. It's ridiculous for the second option to be one that anyone ever believes. All right, there's one last thing I want to play, actually, which is not that interview. It is something else. Trump has gone on a lot of different media places the last few days. Like I said earlier in the show, Bloomberg News interviewed him, and they were not exactly nice. He does a lot of interviews with people who do not like him. He does a lot of interviews with people who are fans of his. He went on another podcast, the PBD podcast, in which he was talking to the host of that show and having a conversation about Ukraine. And this has gone viral, which probably is something that Patrick Bet David is very happy about, the guy who hosts said show, but certainly gone viral because I think it's being used out of context. But I want to play some of it. And I'm even playing the clip from a left-leaning source and then tell you what I think he was actually trying to say or what he actually did say. Compared to what media is going to tell you, he said, but here we go.
I think Zelensky is one of the greatest salesmen I've ever seen. Every time he comes in, we give him $100 billion. Who else got that kind of money in history? There's never been. Mm. And that doesn't mean I don't want to help him because I feel very badly for those people. But he should never have let that war start. That war is a loser. Ukraine, remember, is not Ukraine anymore. Every city almost is knocked down to the ground. Mm-hmm. All those beautiful golden domes are laying on their side. smashed to smithereens. There's no city. You go into the city and every building is demolished. It looks like a demolition crew went through. They've been hit by missiles. This should have been settled before it started. It would have been so easy. If we had a president with half a brain, it would have been easy to settle. And I'm not, you know, everyone would say, oh, this is terrible. He's blaming Biden. Well, I do largely blame Biden. If you watch his words were the exact opposite of what he should have been saying.
Yeah. And in some ways, Biden might have attempted and or instigated, according to Trump, the inevitable war between Russia and Ukraine. Now, the way people are receiving this discussion from Trump, by the way, the way that they're talking about it now is to say that Trump was blaming Zelensky, that when Russia invaded Ukraine, that that's a moment where Zelensky, I guess, sort of surrendered immediately or something to that effect. That's not what Trump is saying. Trump is picturing himself or anyone that's not as weak as the Democratic leadership that was in charge, being in charge, leveraging that relationship to potentially prevent the escalation of disagreements between Russia and Ukraine into a conflict. And part of the thing that will inevitably happen, this is the part that's going to be hard to swallow for some out there in the world. And certainly you feel horrible for the way in which so much of Ukraine has been decimated and maybe even a little worried about how much the United States might intend to spend to try to help Ukraine rebuild. But the only way this conflict really ends, Russia's military is just too strong for Ukraine. And Ukraine does not have support beyond giving people or people giving them equipment and weapons of war. They won't be able to fight a endless war with Russia. It will not end well, and it already hasn't gone well for Ukraine. So they will wind up giving up territory in the contested areas, like the Donbas region, that were part of the beginnings of this conflict. And had some agreement happened, and I guess this is where Trump is envisioning he could have created one that would have given in somewhere there anyway, but solidified the risk to Ukraine moving forward. Even if it's something as significant as joining NATO, there might have been avenues to prevent the war entirely, which would have been better for the Ukrainian side of the conflict because of how much has been taken and how much has been destroyed and how likely that is to be the end result of this. And that's why Ukraine keeps saying everywhere they are. And by the way, it actually makes sense for them to say this. I don't think it's the right thing, but it makes sense why they're saying it, that they won't do that, that they will fight to the last man, because how can you tell Ukraine that they won or that they prevented Russia from taking them if Russia actually winds up getting something in some sort of peace agreement? But if they don't do that, this war will never end. And never-ending wars is something that Trump is not a fan of. And a lot of people are not a fan of, even if sometimes some military-industrial complex aspects of it make a whole lot of people behind the scenes fans of never-ending war after never-ending war. All right, quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
In today's fast-paced world, the mental load on families has become significantly heavier, particularly because everybody navigates new schedules and a lot of responsibilities. And with an increasing array of activities and work commitments and school-related tasks to manage, it can often feel like juggling is a constant act. Life 360 makes it easy to keep track of everybody without the constant back and forth. It's like helicopter parenting without helicoptering. Life 360 has real-time location sharing, so you can track your kids when they're driving to school or hanging out. You kind of get an update on their safety without aggravating them. You get custom alerts when they arrive or leave locations, and it can provide insights into their driving habits, your teenagers, for added safety. Plus, there's also a built-in group chat feature that simplifies coordinating schedules and plans. All of the features of Life 360 are awesome and completely practical in today's world, especially the emergency contacts also. Customizing those contacts gives you peace of mind, and then you know that everyone in the family understands how to use these emergency features and can get help if they need it. Coordinate the chaos and simplify family life with Life 360. Visit life360.com or download the app today and use code Dana to get 1 month of the gold package for free. That's life360.com, code Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
We're going to do this rapid fire. Craig Collins filling in. Bill Clinton called Ethel Kennedy the cat's meow in a recent bizarre appearance and a eulogy at her funeral. He also said that Ethel Kennedy, used to hit on him all the time. That's Bill Clinton in the world we live in right now. That's strange. Sad news. Former One Direction star Liam Payne died, I guess, the other day. There is some confusion as to what exactly happened. Some are saying that he fell, and then some reporting coming out of Argentina is saying that maybe he did not fall, but chose to exit a third-story building in order to take his own life. We will see what the actual end result of that is, but that's a story that's certainly grabbing a lot of people on social media. I don't have an appreciation for the music per se, but I figured I'd at least pass that on in this segment. Fake AI history photos cloud our past. There's a whole bunch of fake, artificially created versions of people who never even met talking together or doing certain things. It's causing a lot of concern as to how you could tie, say, one individual to another individual incorrectly or inappropriately. That's out there. And then also chronic stress has been linked to worsening cases of cancer and illness, specifically colorectal cancer. So another reason to de-stress yourself any way you can, whenever you can. Good luck to anybody out there. But that's a rapid five. This is Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
It's the only Christian conservative cell phone service that is out there, and you can get free activation using code Dana. And they have reliable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. So you're getting the best service in your area and you're not funding the left. And if you're tired of supporting companies that don't share your values and even like work against your values, you need to make the switch to Patriot Mobile today. They've got plans tailored for everybody, businesses, families of all sizes, singles, dinks, whatever your jam is, they got you covered. You can keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade, the choice is yours. And they have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They make it easy to switch. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Get a free month when you use offer code Dana. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT. Free activation using code Dana. And get your free month today using offer code Dana.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A bunch of stuff out there to talk about. You can find Dana everywhere, a D-Lash, a Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter, one of the best ways to stay connected. She's active there all the time. Former President Barack Obama, and former president feels like the appropriate thing to call him even now, Joe Biden. He's still technically in that job. He probably shouldn't be. And also, I don't think anyone's listening to him anymore. But nonetheless, they were having a conversation the other day, and a lot of people wound up very interested in what they were saying. This was at the Ethel Kennedy Memorial Service in Washington, D.C. And a couple lip readers put up funny versions of fake things. Some I can't play, some I could play on the air, but I strongly suggest you go look into some of those. But I guess a couple of professionals who do this sort of thing for a living believe that they cracked the code and have the real version of what was being said. You take this with whatever grain of salt you want. I don't have a secret recording. I don't have an audio tape that proves these are in fact the words somebody's speaking. But to me, when I get the transcript and then look at the faces, it seems to match. So that's the best I can do to tell you if this is accurate or not. But here's what some believe was being said. First, Biden said to Obama, and they seemed very friendly as they were standing next to each other, "She's not as strong as me." And so then Obama looks at Biden and says, "You're right," essentially. He goes, "That's true. I know." Then he adds, "We have time," which feels very ominous. I have no idea what that means. "We have time," to which Biden says, "Yeah, we'll get it in time." And again, what the hell are you talking about? What could potentially change in this world? Some aren't totally sure that they were even talking about Kamala Harris. I don't know if you believe those people who say that or not. They could absolutely be totally wrong about what they're saying. But nonetheless, if you still have time, time to make sure that Trump goes to jail. I have a buddy of mine. Call him a conspiracy theorist if you want. I think some people do. He laughs at those people when they say it. But he very much believes that Harris won't be the candidate, and we're barely weeks away from the election. I just can't see any version of them trying to change the on-paper candidate for this election to anyone else and not dealing with a ridiculous amount of lawsuits and things that make it utterly impossible to even get another name on a ballot. But when you say something like that, and again, I'm not really sure that they're actually saying what the lip readers say they're saying, it makes it feel like they think they could do something, which is terrifying. I think, and a lot of other things, because Harris just took this job from Biden on the 21st. The only thing that Biden might think it means is, hey, I could swing back in there. Why not? Which would be hilarious, By the way, I would actually find that deeply amusing if Biden were somehow capable of being reconsidered as the candidate, because you just lose. You're probably going to lose either way, but no one else even wants this. I think the biggest reason, I'll just say this before I move on from this topic, that Harris is actually the candidate on the Democratic side of the aisle is because no one else even wanted to try to defeat Trump this time around with so little time into the election itself. I don't think any of the other people, whatever they were on the short list of names, the Gavin Newsoms of the world, who are terrible decisions in general and probably won't actually be strong candidates 4 years from now, they'd rather have an entire time to run their own race than to try to do it this way. Also, of course, the money was a huge component. If it wasn't Harris, no one else could have taken all the dollars that were already donated to Biden and used them. And Harris might not even be allowed to do it, according to many legal experts, but she doesn't care and she's doing that anyway. But nonetheless, I do think that there's a tremendous demonstration of just how little other people wanted to usurp Biden that are not named Kamala Harris. And she's the only one that seemed interested in it. And now things are going terrible for her, especially after the conversation with Bret Baier, which we'll get to more audio of that in just a little bit. There's one other thing that does get talked about a lot, and I can't help but want to add context to this discussion. I think this is CNN is one of the places that is talking about it. People who would get deported, all the other things that would be a negative as far as this is concerned. And there's a really worrisome version of a conversation here. I promise I'm not trying to be woke, but you feel like the side of the aisle that claims they are woke would actually have a problem with their own messaging on this topic.
Which he can now do because of the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. And he's going to take on these countries that screw American workers. That's the plan. And oh, no, by the way, he's going to crack down on immigration to the benefit of American workers.
He's going to deport 20 million people, the people who pick your crops, the people who process your meat, the people who, you know, care for your grandmother, the people who serve all sorts of critical functions in this country. Yeah, he's going to
deport them. They're going to get kicked out because they're the only ones willing to get paid absolute terrible money to do these things. Like, how elite does that have to sound? In all honesty, and I'm not trying to be woke. I promise to you I'm not. I'm sometimes dumbfounded by the narratives or the arguments that are made on certain sides of both political aisles. And then the way in which it seems to fly in the face of everything you've ever said before or would say 5 minutes later if I change the subject of the topic but leave the basic of the conversation the same. Who's going to pick your crops? Who's going to take care of grandma if you deport people who are here illegally? Someone who can do it legally and get paid a actual wage for it. That should be the woke position and not the opposite. But that definitely went viral today as something insane that a person said. And there's a lot of insane stuff that a lot of people are saying. It makes you also just sit there and wonder, like, I'm saying this honestly, and I know this might be as basic of a take as you're going to get out there, but it deserves to continue to be said because I don't know if enough people are still saying this. But it seems as though we're going to get this weird, cyclical, constant version of Groundhog Day arguments where the people look at who they're arguing against and decide that they can't agree on anything as opposed to what the discussion is about. I feel like if I went blazing into a conversation against a bunch of hardcore far left liberal individuals, but said all of their talking points to them, they'd be so confused by that if they knew who I was or what, you know, publicly positions I stand on, that they'd argue my positions back to me because they knew they couldn't agree with me. I think that's all it is. Honestly, when you see support in certain demographics for Trump, black men is one of the ones that gets talked about the most. The amount of rejection of the idea that this could even be possible, that anyone could actually support Trump, who, you know, is of a certain demographic or anything else, is part of the most amazing. We refuse the narrative that's being presented to us, even though it's clearly being presented to us as facts. We're going to deny it because we just don't like these things. We don't like what's being said. We don't like what people are telling us. That is beyond terrifying as a thing. It's the kind of thing that I think the longer it goes and the more it's been going on for, the more people even forget what the point of the discussion itself is. Like, you stop even knowing why you're arguing. You're just arguing because you've been told that you hate the other side and the things that they think more than you've even been told what your side actually thinks about stuff, which is, well, terrible. And honestly, I've been thinking about this a bit. over the last couple of days. I don't know if this is the most valuable path to go, especially filling in on someone else's show, someone as famous and popular as Dana Loesch. But part of me just wishes that you could give a unlimited soapbox to some of the individuals that are saying, I'm this position and I feel this way and I felt this way my whole life. And now finally I'm deciding to change my opinion and switch to the other side of the political aisle. I'm going to vote conservative when I've been voting Democrat for so long. And it's because of all the failures that have been going on. It's all the ridiculousness that's been going on. And then not have that person be attacked the way that the left attacks their own when these sort of things occur, which to me is sort of the most amazing side product of this discussion too. And I'm not sure that I'm truly making sense. Because again, as I said, you'd probably need like several different ways to visit this conversation with people who are inside of something I'm not in and say things, you know, through their own experience that I don't have about how terrible stuff is. I know I have some clips at least. Let's play some of those. I have a couple of these. These are just guys on social media, viral, not influencers per se, but they're just people. They happen to be black guys that are probably in that age group that people are saying Harris is struggling the most with, guys in their 20s to maybe early 40s that don't really want to support Harris, that are saying they're pretty offended, not just by how Harris has been treating them, by saying, if you don't vote for me, you're an idiot, but also how people like Barack Obama have been referring to the idea that there might be young black men who'd choose to support Trump over their candidate. Here's one of those things that went viral.
Democrats then unleashed Barack Obama into the wild to shame us black men for not supporting Kamala Harris, despite the fact that she's yet to unveil any policies that represent our interests. Why is it okay that everybody gets to come out here and shame this one demographic of people for how we vote or how we question where our vote goes? But if it was a white politician shaming other white men for not voting based on identity politics, y'all would call him racist. Why is it okay for Barack Obama, Kamala Harris, and all these other people that supposedly look like me?
It's not.
Why is it okay for them to get on TV and shame me?
It's not.
For not voting for them simply because they look like me.
Yeah, it's not okay. It's not okay at all. It shouldn't be okay, and they shouldn't be doing that. I don't know that people would be up in arms. That's the one thing I was also contemplating about playing that audio. The way he feels they would be if it was a white politician telling people to vote based on identity politics. I know that people of the opposite party, whatever party it is that we're saying that, would be up in arms. But I don't know. The rules in today's society basically means you can take any amount of shots you want at white men. That's okay. That's allowed. They deserve it. Something to that effect, I think I've been told before. But nonetheless, the overall message that he's giving there is tremendously powerful, that he feels that to be told to vote just based on his race for someone who is the same race as him is the worst, least convincing, and most upsetting argument he could hear from his own political side of the aisle. And so obviously a lot of people will agree with him and agree on that position and hope that he doesn't wind up getting silenced by people in his own life who treat him like crap for saying the quiet part out loud that so many people say out loud. But anyway, I just do think, and I'm sure there's, all kinds of opportunities to have these conversations. But there's a lot of social media platforms out there that don't silence just everyday individuals who are putting out really great versions of their own reaction as just one-off things you can probably find that go viral, saying similar stuff. And it also convinces me that the war against TikTok, which for a while I actually believed made sense. You know, if China is stealing a bunch of information and learning things about us, not just with the Chinese spy balloons, but with access to social media information, that's not good. That's bad for us. But when Trump came out against silencing TikTok because it would embolden the Facebooks of the world who were more likely to silence certain types of conversation, it convinces you even more. And then when this stuff goes viral on those platforms, that all right, they do all have value, especially Elon buying X or Twitter, because you get to see more in opinions. You don't get to be convinced by all of them, but seeing them is something that we used to not be afraid of at all in this country. All right, quick break. A lot more coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Black Rifle Coffee. See, I don't need a robot making my coffee. I don't need a robot doing any of that stuff. I just need good coffee. Clearly, I've had a lot today. I've had maybe one more cup than I normally do. I had the silencer smooth today. By the way, that, I believe, is part of the... It is. It's part of the Complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler. So if you love coffee, you can get their sampler kit. It's a lineup of their classic Black Rifle Coffee Company blends. So you get 4 ounce bags of like all my favorites, AK-47 Espresso, the Beyond Black, the Just Black, the Silencer Smooth, which I had a lot of today. Every flavor is amazing. It comes in this cool blue box. It's a great gift for people who like coffee. Now it's available exclusively in ground texture. You can get all of these blends in a whole bean K-cup ready to drink, like pretty much like whichever medium you would like. And you can join the coffee club. You choose your roast, your frequency of shipment, and it shows up to your front porch with free shipping. So you're saving money, you're saving time, and you're never going to run out of coffee. It is a veteran-owned coffee company. They employ veterans in active duty. And they're all about giving props to American culture and our military as well. You need to experience outstanding flavor and aroma at blackriflecoffee.com. Order yourself the Complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler. Get 20% off with code Dana. 20% off. Code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Amen, Florida Man. Several different amazing Florida Man stories out there. My name is Craig Collins, filling in for Dana on The Dana Show. A 12-foot alligator was removed from somebody's backyard in Cape Coral, Florida, after the hurricane wreaked all kinds of havoc in the area and honestly sent a lot of gators a lot of places they're not usually going to go. There was video footage caught that was sent into a local television news station in Cape Coral, Fort Myers, Florida area, Wink News, in which they showed the way they removed the gator from the backyard. They tied a rope around its neck, tied the other end of the rope around a pickup truck, and just slowly drove it out of the backyard. I love the comments on this post on social media on Twitter from the Wink News people, because a lot of the comments are like, man, I feel so bad for this alligator. You can tell that he doesn't want to leave as one of the comments. Other people saying this is the way that you got to do this. Some people thanking Ron DeSantis, who didn't seem to be involved in this, but that's hilarious to do, too. But so many different reactions and ways to, I guess, represent what is somewhat typical life in Florida. By the way, this isn't a part of the segment, but it can be. I'm moving to Florida. I actually live in the Midwest right now, and I'll be moving to Florida in the next week and a half or so. And so I hope to not find any gator in my backyard anytime soon. I got family there. I don't think I've ever heard a story about us finding stuff. So I think that I'll be in a gatorless area, but you never know. Another story that I love, also somewhat tied to the hurricanes in Florida. A guy got arrested because he tried to steal a generator off of a stoplight that was obviously without power, and it was being provided by said generator. Cops came to his house because workers in the area noticed what he was doing, told him, you're not allowed to take that. He didn't seem to really care about their advice, but eventually he left. They got his license plate. A cop showed up at his house, and they just had questions for this Florida man first, and he had terrible Florida man answers. Here we go.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How's it going?
Good. Can you step out for us?
Probably not. I'm fixing dinner right now.
Okay, my first thing that I'm a fan of is that the cops ask him to step outside. He obviously knows, based on the level of stress he sounds like he has in his voice, that he's in trouble. And he goes, I'd rather not step outside. I'm making dinner. I'm very busy.
What's going on?
You're just being detained real quick, buddy, okay?
Some people might have witnessed you doing some things that we shouldn't have done, okay?
There's a generator on 674.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That I saw that was, I had no lock on it and it had no name on it. So I was, someone set it out.
Yeah, I love that as far as an answer goes from this guy. That is not something that makes things more legal. You saw a generator on the street tied to a stoplight that wouldn't work when you unplugged it, and you noticed no name on it. He's treating the generator outside of his community or within his community like most people treat food inside their office refrigerator. It's like, I didn't see a name. I thought this was anybody's generator, so I wanted to slowly unplug it and then find a way to move it to my house, and I thought that was fine. And then when the workers came up and told me it wasn't, and I tried to ignore them, they told me again it wasn't, and then eventually I went home. I never thought I'd be arrested for this, sir. It's an easy mistake. Obviously, everybody makes one. That's so great. There's no name on it is something that I hope more people say right when they're getting arrested. And I imagine they actually do. One last one. I like this too. A guy was arrested in Port St. Lucie in Florida. Apparently, he pointed a flamethrower at police. He didn't use it, thank God. He intimidated them for sure. Brandishing a flamethrower, that's a crime. That's going to get you in trouble, more so when it's toward police. But the Florida thing about it is, why did he have a flamethrower? It didn't seem relevant to anything he was doing. He seemed to back up in whatever video is out there with this story out there and pick up a flamethrower and then say he was going to do some stuff with it and then realize that'd be terrible. And he backed down and he got arrested. But that's an intense interaction. I've actually often said, this is a quote, you can quote me on it, that something that would make me much more disturbed if I ever were to have been a cop was when someone chooses randomly to get naked while in the middle of getting arrested. I don't like the people who want to get naked. I don't know what's going on in their brains. I don't want to be around that situation when you're in trouble outdoors and you think that that's going to enhance the situation and not make it much worse. I think flamethrower is the only thing I might be more intimidated than full-on nudity halfway through an arrest. But both are bad. Neither are good. Don't be those people. All right, quick break. A lot more coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show. This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Thrilled to be with you. Lots of stuff to talk about. Dana is back on Monday. The Dana Show can be found everywhere. First TV, Channel 347 on DirecTV, and also D-Lash or Dana Lash Radio are two great places to find her online. All right, let's do this first. I thought this was interesting, and I don't have as hot of a take as maybe I should have on this topic, although I'm annoyed, and I think a lot of people are annoyed that this sort of thing becomes such a common talking point in the world of news media. Victoria's Secret had its fashion show return this week. I think it happened on Tuesday, and apparently two of the models were transgender models. I didn't watch the show, so I can't tell you if I was aware or unaware when I saw it. I'm not trying to be mean, just being honest. If you're watching the fashion show and you see some models that don't look the same as you're used to, you might notice that. I don't know. I have no idea. I haven't even seen photos of these people. I've just seen all over social media the prevalence of this discussion. And so I guess what I'm saying is I'm annoyed and maybe even partly annoyed on their behalf. I have no idea if they're annoyed or not. So I guess I'd be told that I'm, you know, not allowed to feel that way for somebody else, but that this is even like a part of the conversation. Because in all honesty, if you're someone that wants to be a model and you've done certain things to yourself to look as good as you can in that world, I don't know if you want to sell this point. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm out of the loop. I'm out of touch on this. I just know it becomes such a common talking point and such a ridiculous, you know, a political thing for all of us to debate. And it's something that eventually changes how many people think you're allowed to parent your own children, that someone else is allowed to parent your children if they can prove you're hateful somehow or some way, even if everything you feel has nothing to do with hate whatsoever, just protecting your kids from harming themselves. But nonetheless, as I say all this, I just couldn't get over the amount of places that are talking about that. And I wonder if that's positive or negative for even the Victoria's Secret fashion show, which went on hiatus for being not woke and mean and stuff, and then came back, I think, a little bit, but didn't do very well because the models were not traditional, well, not necessarily a transgender. And now there's transgender models and they're proud of it, but I don't know how many people actually watch this. I have no context for it, but I just saw it and I thought it was interesting that it's all over news. There's this obsession with talking about some of these things as if you're outing someone for being hateful, if their actual response to the story is, oh, I don't care. I don't know why that's hateful, by the way. I don't think anyone will ever be able to convince me or get me to understand why not caring about something means that I hate somebody. Because I thought that, you know, lack of having that in my brain at all was more a reflection of what my day-to-day life is like and me not being worried or the opposite about you. But that's my own genuine reaction to it. The reason I even bring that up, though, is it somewhat pivots into a conversation about a political thing going on. So Kamala Harris last night did this long interview. It should have been even longer, but it didn't last as long as it should have lasted with Bret Baier. Many of the topics that came up focused on things that probably aren't at the top of people's minds when it comes to your actual day-to-day life. Although Bret Baier did a much better job than anyone else who interviews Kamala Harris at bringing some of those things in, like border issues and things that a lot of Americans are thinking about. One of the discussions, though, focused on a political ad that the Trump team is running. I'll play it for you because it's tied to a lot of these issues that people do still talk about, and especially parents do talk about when they're worried about their kids. The impressionableness of a child, the willingness of a kid in today's society to think that there's something wrong with you if there's nothing about you that's unique. I don't know how to say that different. Nothing about you that is apart from what, you know, a lot of other kids are saying and doing or feel. I'm in the right body. I'm the right person. You know, I have these pronouns, whatever that is. That's now frowned upon in society, at least from a generational standpoint, in some strange ways. It makes you boring and then also maybe worse things. But because of that, maybe this is such a significant conversation to so many. But here's how it came up last night in the conversation between Bret Baier and Kamala Harris.
This particular one from the Trump campaign has gotten a lot of attention.
Kamala supports taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners.
Surgery.
For prisoners.
For prisoners. Every transgender inmate in the prison system would have access.
So are you still in support of using taxpayer dollars to help prison inmates or detained illegal aliens to transition to another gender?
I will follow the law. And it's a law that Donald Trump actually followed. You're probably familiar with, now it's a public report.
So
that
no.
Under Donald Trump's administration.
Hold on. Let's get that exactly right, Madam Vice President, if you don't mind. And I wish that there'd been more jumping in right away to that. So the actual truth, and this is not coming from me and what I think the truth is. This is something you can easily look up and find on your own. Even the New York Times has appropriately reported on this. Yes, when Trump was in office, there were people in prison that requested a transition from one sex to another. And Trump's administration added a caveat to what would be allowed legally. Because I guess in the courts, they decided that it would be legal for someone who, could prove that it was medically important that they were transitioned from one sex to another sex. It's a very weird, complicated thing. Trump's administration added the word, it had to be medically necessary. It had to be something that they thought without it, the person would die or the person would be in jeopardy in some sort of way. And so I imagine, and it never actually happened while Trump was in office, people were trying to get these surgeries performed, but they were delayed because they were being fought in courtrooms. But essentially the word necessary became the forefront of the discussion. I hate doing this history lesson. It probably isn't going to be important to a whole lot of Americans, but it's essentially absolutely accurate, according to the New York Times. And the first such operation to occur where an inmate used tax dollars to change their sex was in 2022, after Trump was long out of office. So any other impact he could have had on that issue the first time around didn't actually occur until he was already no longer in power. So Harris is lying to you when she says that Trump followed this, because his administration actually made it more difficult and demonstrated that it had to be proven a certain way in a courtroom, and then inevitably lost a court case years after, as I said, he was no longer the president. So a little bit more.
Surgeries were available to, on a medical necessity basis, to people in the federal prison system. And I think, frankly, that ad from the Trump campaign is a little bit of like throwing, you know, stones when you're living in a glass house.
The Trump aides say that he never advocated for that prison policy and no gender transition surgeries happened during his presidency.
Well, you know what, you got to take responsible for what happened in your administration.
Yeah, no surgeries happened in his presidency.
It's in black and white.
Would you still advocate?
I love it. I love it so much when she's shaking her head and saying, it's in black and white. How dare you? And he goes, well, it actually didn't happen during his administration. Even if they were fighting it in courtrooms, it didn't occur during the time he was in office, which feels like a petty thing to argue about, because his position now and her position now couldn't be clearer, and they disagree with each other.
For using taxpayer dollars for gender reassignment
surgeries.
I will
follow the law, just as I think Donald Trump would say he did.
You would have a say as president.
I think it's real. He spent $20 million on those ads.
Who cares?
Trying to create a sense of fear in the voters.
You've spent billions of dollars, or at least hundreds of millions of dollars of the billion, whatever it is you raised, to try to paint Trump as a horrible, terrible person. So it's weird to complain about the money that's spent on this sort of thing. But one last part of it, and I love this so much. When you say, I'm not going to take any sort of active role in any of these things, I'm not going to be involved. It's not going to be something. I'll just follow the law. I'll just let those people decide. One of two things winds up being true. You are putting out loud into the world how weak you are, how incredibly weak you are, actually, and how willing you are to not be the one who's in charge in our country and not actually govern it while being elected to do exactly that. And then the other issue you have with that sort of thing, especially with people who have a track record like the one that Harris has, is how obviously untrue it's going to wind up being shortly after you get into office. There's a extreme difference to me from the people who say, you know what, I have no path to change this rule, as opposed to the people who say, I have no interest in changing this rule. The no interest is different. And even more so, if you actually say that you do agree or disagree with something, it's quite a bit different than saying you have to follow the law, as if you know, can't try to change the law by being in the role you're in. But nonetheless, I just thought it was really interesting and one of several conversations that seemed designed in a way in which Bret Baier was actually trying to get to the heart of the issue and discuss the actual, you know, differences between the two people. And the goal, it seemed, for Democrats was to get the soundbite where she's nice and Trump is a mean jerk or whatever else it is. One more moment from that, because it was a really significant interview, even if it won't get played as much as it should be played. There were several struggle points for Harris, but none were probably more powerful, at least to most Americans, than this one.
Rhetoric that people are frankly exhausted of, Brett.
More than 70% of people tell the country is on the wrong track. They say the country is on the wrong track. If it's on the wrong track, that track follows 3.5 years of you being vice president and President Biden being president. That is what they're saying, 79% of them. Why are they saying that? If you're turning the page, you've been in office for 3.5 years.
And Donald Trump has been running for office.
The person holding the office.
Come on. Madam Vice President. You and I both know what I'm talking about. You and I both know what I'm talking about.
I actually don't. What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Is that over the last decade,
people have become.
But listen, over the last decade, it is clear to me, and certainly the Republicans who are on stage with me, the former chief of staff to the president, Donald Trump, former defense secretaries,
that he's evil. That he's, you know, the Joker, and we need a Batman to come and take him out or something like that. Or that he still wields influence and power. I don't know what she's going to say. Well, actually, I do know what she's going to say, but I don't care. Essentially, what I'll say in reaction to all of that and how hilarious it is to try to blame Trump when you're actually the person in the White House right now is how, you know, weak beyond anything else it makes you seem if it were actually not a talking point. It is a talking point. It is complete crap. But it's amazing to think that if Democrats got what they wanted out of that and you believed that the real reason that they didn't do more to fix certain issues is that Trump wielded too much power without being in the office of president, then you couldn't walk away from that conversation saying anything to yourself other than, well, then why don't we elect the guy who's actually in charge? If he's going to be in charge, if he's not in office or if he is in office, might as well put him back in office. That way, at least we know what's going on, you know, in the forefront as opposed to in the background and you telling us that. Now, granted, I don't actually think what she's saying is true, but if I took it at face value, that's the only way I'd be able to receive it, is that you're telling me that you're the boss of my company, but that the number two guy or a guy that doesn't even work here is actually in charge. Well, we might as well bring him in and make him the boss then if you can't be the boss, because at least we have somebody that's here with us telling us what's going on and we know what their role is. All right, I got to take a break. A little more coming up after this. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. It's the Quick Five. Let's get through some of these. These are pretty great. A student was punished for using AI to write a paper in school. Now his parents are suing the school, saying that they violated his civil rights. That he has civil rights to cheat on stuff. This happened in Massachusetts. The student or the parents of the student are claiming that they deserve a whole bunch of money. Dale and Jennifer, their names. They're raising their kid to be horrible. I don't know how to say that different. They're raising their kid to be someone who never thinks that any consequences are theirs. By the way, the kid also got a C+ on the paper. Didn't even get an F for something that they plagiarized from the internet, from AI. Their grade was docked, but their grade was not completely destroyed. And they're a national merit scholar, according to the story. Who knows how often they've been cheating, though? Who knows how much of those, how many of those scores they've gotten before are actually legitimate and not, ChatGPT's credit. But nonetheless, the parents want to show the kid that doing bad things has absolutely no consequences. So good luck to them. Another story out there that I saw that I thought was interesting. Walking in short bursts is actually better for you and can burn more calories and do good stuff compared to longer durations of walking at the same speed. So if you just get up from your chair while at your job and walk around every so often, you're actually going to do better than if you show up at the park after work and do a longer walk, according to science, according to the internet, which is something I'll immediately tell to the missus the next time she asks me to go somewhere and do a longer form version of aerobic workout. You know what? Actually, the short forms wind up helping out a lot. We've got to stick to those and not do the longer form things. Another story out there that I kind of liked, I just thought it was weird. Blood vessels are being grown in labs now, and some of the scientists behind doing this are saying that it's like having spare parts for people. So eventually you might be able to swing into your local version of a Walmart store that's just spare parts for humans and buy whatever things you need and have them implanted in your body. I don't know if it'll happen exactly like that. That's the future I envision. Probably isn't good. It probably won't be great for a lot of us, although apparently it's helping. And it's even been effective at, dealing with injuries that Ukrainian soldiers are dealing with. This is according to the Wall Street Journal. So they're proud of it. I just feel creeped out by spare parts for people as a quote that some scientist somewhere gave to news media that they were proud of. They're like, yeah, we're growing the spare parts. Can't wait for this to become a bigger deal. And then also, I saw this as far as a quick five topic. A series of earthquakes in Southern California has made people very worried about the big one coming at some point. Maybe that's because of some of the other weather stuff that's happened. Florida seeing a couple of hurricanes, for example. But luckily, these things are not as tied together as people say they are. So the fear of, quote unquote, the big one might not have any level of additional value to it as far as the scientists or anyone else is concerned. But we shall see. I guess the smaller quakes have made people worried and made people ask that question quite a bit, especially on social media. Finally, one last super quick one. A giant runaway pumpkin, an inflatable pumpkin, a Halloween decoration, stopped traffic in Cleveland, Ohio for a while. There is a viral video online of a massive pumpkin that is not real, making everybody slam on the brakes and then wait for someone to clear it. I don't know why I found that funny, but I just did. So check that one out too. All right, quick break.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Find Dana Lash all over. You can find her on First TV, on DirecTV. You can find her on iHeart, TuneIn, all the stuff, Apple Podcasts, and also D-Lash or Dana Lash Radio on Twitter, on X, are great ways to stay connected to her too. And DanaLash.com or DanaRadio.com as well. All right, Tucker Carlson did a great interview, a sit-down interview, where he was, and honestly, that's all he does. I don't think he does a lot of on-the-road stuff, but a conversation about just how bad things could be for liberal mentality, I guess is probably the right way to say it. If Donald Trump doesn't indeed win re-election, something that a whole lot of polls and other things are saying is actually likely. I know for a while they were claiming it wasn't, but a lot of those numbers seem to have leaned back toward Trump recently. You should still vote whoever you want to win. You should not go ahead and decide to neglect to throw that part of the process there. As Trump says, actually, to his supporters, make it impossible for them to cheat. As I like that as a narrative in and of itself. But I want to play part of this because I just thought it was really interesting with a political analyst and Tucker Carlson. The guy's name is Mark Halperin, discussing what they believe will happen or could happen once Trump gets reelected, as far as the slow breakdown of lack of acceptance, maybe, or belief or something for those who take in the rhetoric that Trump is a danger to democracy, or whatever else they say. Here we go.
Say this not flippantly. I think it will be the cause of the greatest mental health crisis in the history of the country. I think tens of millions of people will question their connection to the nation, their connection to other human beings, their connection to their vision of what their future for them and their children could be like. And I think that will be require an enormous amount of access to mental health professionals. I think it'll lead to trauma in the workplace. I think there'll be some degree of...
Are you being serious?
100% serious. 100% serious. I think there'll be...
100% serious. I love the Tucker's first real reaction 45 seconds into this answer to what's going to happen if Trump gets reelected is mental health crisis, a need for access to mental health professionals, fights in workplaces, all kinds of things. It's like, are you honestly saying this out loud? And the answer is yeah. You know people like this. I know people like this, not people like the guest, but people that he's describing that would seem to mentally be incapable of accepting the idea that Trump could be reelected to the office of president, because they believe all the things they're told in media, all the things that at one point Trump's running mate even believed about him when he would call him a Nazi, as is often brought up in liberal media trying to take shots at Trump today, but has come around to believe that, oh, yeah, that's not the case at all. And the whole first time Trump was in office, none of the fear-mongering things they said then, like that we would end up in a nuclear war, actually occurred. So I guess there's a chance that those things don't happen a second time around. But I thought this was really fascinating. They're not done. They're just getting into it.
Alcoholism. There'll be broken marriages.
What?
Yeah. They think he's the worst person possible to be president. And having won by the hand of Jim Comey and Fluke in 2016, and then performed in office for 4 years and denied who won the election last time, and January 6th, the fact that under a fair election, America chose by the rules pre-agreed to Donald Trump again, I think it will cause the biggest mental health crisis in the history of America. And I don't think it will be kind of a passing thing that by
long
inauguration
pause
will be fine. I think it will be sustained and unprecedented and hideous.
Long pause for
and
Tucker.
I don't think the country's ready for it.
So mental health crises often manifest in violence.
Yeah, I think there'll be some violence. I think there'll be.
Look, I'll stop it there. You might think that all this is radical and crazy. And even Tucker is someone who often gets all those labels added to him, reacting to some of this with disbelief that he has a guest, granted a guest who's on Newsmax, saying the things that he's saying. But you can't help but think that there are people, like, I'll make it a personal experience, an anecdote, if you will, or whatever you want to call this. In my own life, there have been several times where, based on what I do for a living, I'm a broadcaster, not just here, but other places. There have been people that wind up having friction with me that makes no sense to me. I don't know them. I don't talk to them. And when I do have a reason to eventually communicate with people, maybe it's people I work with or something else, I'm already at a tremendous disadvantage because of what I say politically, how I discuss certain topics. And it makes it almost impossible to work with some of these individuals. One of the most famous versions of this in my own life, not famous to anybody but me and some friends and maybe people who listen to some of my regular broadcast stuff that I do, was when I was working at a radio station and the news director of the place I was working at came in because I was filling in on a show I didn't usually work on. She said to me right before we started going on air, because she knew what my political stances on certain things were. And this is right at the beginning of the pandemic, by the way. So what she said, she thought was way worse than what it actually probably would feel like today if someone said it. But her sentiment was, hey, by the way, before we start going here, just so you know, if you say anything positive about Trump, if I ever were to get COVID, I would find the nearest Trump rally so I could kill as many Trump supporters as possible. She might not have said it quite that clearly, but that was exactly the thing she said, that she would take it to a rally to hurt people. And then she looked at me and she said, all right, so let's get going. And like the weirdest passive aggressive smile took over this person's face. That's just one instance. I've had tremendous other ones like that, where a salesperson or someone else struggles to be able to work with you and you're sitting there thinking, why? Like, we barely talk. We barely exchange anything at all. And then you do get frustrated or upset or mad at some point because it's unfair. The way that things have been happening are unfair. And Trump feels that way for sure with the way he's been treated. And I think a lot of Trump supporters and a lot of office spaces or maybe a lot of groups of friends feel that way, or just conservatives who wouldn't even call themselves, you know, MAGA Republican or whatever the disparaging word is, but would just call themselves people who would rather vote for Trump than vote for Harris, and then wind up getting as attacked as anyone else. There would be a moment where if Trump wins again, all of those versions of potential conflict could overwhelm a lot of individuals in ways that I think could be harmful, as Mark is saying on Tucker's show. I don't know if it'll get to the extreme that it could get to, but there are a lot of people who just feel as though your fellow man's the enemy when your fellow man is not the enemy. I'll say one other thing about the times I've had conflicts with people in my own personal life based on politics. I don't actually hold any ill will to this day on any of those individuals, because I don't think any of it was about me and them. I don't care. They seem like nice enough people. Usually these are people who are, you know, parents or friends or, you know, something else with a lot of people I know and respect. I don't have any issue. It's at times caused challenges to certain, you know, aspects of my own personal life. But nonetheless, like when you get removed from those things, you don't hold any ill will, because what's the point in doing that? It wasn't even really about you. It's about something else. And I think that's the scariest part of political rhetoric in today's society, is the amount of people who identify it so strongly now that you don't want to hate the politician that you disagree with. That was more normal. That's like at a sporting event when you're booing the team you don't like. But now you actually want to physically boo and attack all the people in the stands that cheer for the other team. I'm a Yankee fan. The Yankees are going to be playing baseball again tonight, and I very hope they win again and get one game closer. They're two games away from the World Series. And I know that sometimes people punch each other and beat each other up because of sports teams. But it's few and far between. It's something that happens very rarely in our society. And yet the passion that some people might have for politics and the belief they have that what happens in the world of politics has a stronger impact on your life than sports does, because, well, darn it, they're right about that. It does. It causes these issues to be crazier. It's just insane. And again, my favorite version of an example of this, and this is so, you know, minute in compared to legal cases challenging Donald Trump and trying to throw him in jail and anything anyone else would experience in this world. But the biggest thing I can say in response to all of this, like the thing that matters most to me about this discussion, is how I hope at the end of all of it, when they're years removed from any version of, oh, I didn't like that guy because he said political stuff that I didn't like, that they look back and go, you know, I probably overreacted there. I probably overreacted here. I probably went too far there. I don't know that we will, but I think that would be very cathartic. That would bring us a lot of healing, or whatever woke words I want to use to talk about it, to get us back to a place where you don't see your fellow man as the enemy. Because they're not. They're not the enemy, especially someone you barely know, you barely communicate with, you barely even understand anything of. For you to say or do things that actively harm them seems to make no sense. And I don't know what it is you're actually fighting with. It's actually, you know, there's one other example of this that I love that I can play that has nothing to do with anything in my life or anyone else's life, but it is a crazy woman. So I guess I'll end it on this moment. This younger, I think 20-something, I was walking through Jersey. I've played this audio already in the show today. She sees a flag above a restaurant, believes the flag to be Israel's flag. And so she rips it down, puts the social media video camera on herself. So she tapes herself damaging something of a that she doesn't own from some business and yelling at them about how it stands for genocide. Now, outside of the fact that that's anti-Semitic and wrong and a lot of people would disagree with it in general, it also wasn't the Israeli flag, which makes it even worse when she has to inevitably apologize. But what I'm trying to say, and how I'm trying to tie these topics together, is that to me, this anger, this rage, this insanity coming out of a complete stranger that's never been to your restaurant, has no idea like anything about your restaurant, but wants to rip the flag down because they think that it stands for something that they think they don't like, even though I don't know how well she even understands the issue that she's claiming to understand as well as she does. It just shows us how you reposition this anger on stuff that you think you're entitled to be angry about because society has told you, hey, you're allowed to be angry about this. When the reality is, I bet you she's angry about something else in her life. I don't know if she had a breakup with a boyfriend. I don't know if a parent treated her poorly. She's having difficulties with family or friends, but it feels like that's more likely to be the situation or some sort of challenge she's dealing with in her own life. Maybe she just lost a job that has nothing to do with her anger being placed on this, something that it seems like it doesn't tie to her at all. But here, I'll play the audio just an example. But I think we see so much of that in the world. And I think that's so well represented in what Tucker's guest is saying could happen when Trump gets back in for the side that sees him as the evil enemy that they're told he is.
I'm taking this down.
What are they going to do? They can't do nothing.
I don't stand for this.
There's genocide.
I don't support it. This is not okay.
This is freaky.
Who's this?
This is freaky.
What?
Freaky.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's Israel. My bad.
I'm such a fan of that, that she's like, what are they going to do? I'm going to tear this down. I'm going to throw it on the ground. I'm going to take it down because they're terrible and they're supporting Israel, a genocidal country, which is all insane rhetoric and talking points and not true and just stuff that she's yelling. And then she finds out it's a Greek flag and she apologizes to the people and puts it back up. What an idiot. What a moron, first. And secondly, what a scary way in which you believe you can wield your anger in something that you'll be supported by society on. So I'm allowed to be mad here. So I'm going to be mad, even if I don't know anything about the people I'm mad at or know anything about who they are as individuals, which, as I said, again, not to repeat it, is happening a lot in our society. All right, quick break, a lot more as Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized informative episodes, perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Dana is back on Monday. D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio, or places you can find her on X on Twitter, danaradio.com, channel one or channel 347, First TV, all kinds of places. It's all over the place. Find her. She's very, very successful and talented. All right, before I get out of here, first, I thought it was weird that Jerry Seinfeld popped up last night to do an intro to the Mets game. The Yankees and Mets both play today, so that'll be interesting to see where those series go. But again, the Mets game, for some reason yesterday, involved Seinfeld. I know he's a famous Mets fan, but here's a little bit of what that sounded like.
Postseason baseball. If your team is in it, it's two different sports, really. Home games and away games. At home, you want insane screaming, jumping, dancing, pushing, punching. Away, you want quiet.
Well, a bounce-back win for the Mets in game two.
A Dodger game is glamorous. Everyone looks so good.
Let's go, Mets! Let's
we love our Mets no matter what. The Mets are all we have. They know it, and we know it. And yes, we also know we're not that physically attractive. And now... Game three of the National League Championship Series.
I do like that he said that the Mets fans are not that terribly attractive. You do have something else there, Jerry. Anybody in New York can cheer for the Yankees, the appropriate team to cheer for. My favorite baseball team since I was a little kid growing up in Jersey, who didn't know what a payroll was. For anyone that gets mad whenever I say that. Just quickly, before we get out of here, a couple other things. Over a month into negotiations, Boeing and the Machinists Union have stalled. So apparently the negotiations are a lot like the Boeing aircrafts themselves. They have issues. They stall. Hopefully doors aren't flying off places. But this could be bad. This could be an issue, especially if they're, you know, continuing to make Boeing airplanes the way they've been making them so far. That feels like more bad than good. But I thought that was an interesting quick story out there in the world. Another one I saw, there is a lawsuit that's going to start in San Jose, California. It is against Los Gatos, a restaurant that serves apparently way too spicy of food. The lawsuit was real. It was brought on by people. They claim that this is the part that really got me. The Dragon Ball appetizer at Los Gatos Thai restaurant was so spicy it burned an individual internally, and she has to go to court now to get rewarded for whatever the problem is. Dragon Ball Z, or Dragon Ball, a cartoon show I watched as a kid growing up, is hilariously getting dragged in all this. It's unfair to them. They're probably not happy about it. But also, and the simple question, one that deserves to be asked, if you don't like spicy food, if you think it's going to be horrible for you, don't order it. Don't buy it. Don't try a whole lot of it. Eat very, very tiny amounts of it and see if you can handle it. As opposed to this, she's the only person who's brought the lawsuit. That's why I'm saying that I don't necessarily believe that the food was too spicy for human consumption. I think it might have just been too spicy for her. But who knows? We'll see. She's trying to prove permanent injury. And she said she is forever damaged by the experience, both physically and mentally. She's going to be afraid of spicy food and maybe Goku and Vegeta for the rest of her life, which makes me very sad because it's a pretty decent cartoon show. At least it was when I was a kid. I think it still holds up. Now, I know they've got movies and stuff that have come out. I haven't seen any of that. But mostly the reason I haven't seen that, I'm just going to do a tangent before I get out of here real quick, is I couldn't bear to bring my wife with me to those kind of movies, and I can't go to them alone. You know, the comic book superhero, I love the real life Marvel movies. I still go to those and drag the missus along. But the comic book superhero movies that are cartoons, I can't do it, man. I'm almost 40 years old. I can't make the missus go, and I can't try to do it on my own and respect myself. I don't blame you if you do. I'm just saying I can't. All right, I'm out of here. I'll be back tomorrow. Dana will be back on Monday. This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. I got my name wrong.